Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning to you out there in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, and where else you may be listening to us on the multiple internet apps, phone things, radio dials. It's the future.
I get more calls from people that I have no idea where they live. Saying that they listen to the show.
They won't tell you?
No, I mean, you know me. I ask, but then they say where they're from.
Would you tell Bruce where you are?
Bruce already knows where I live.
He's back in Northern Virginia, thank God. Virginia. Thank God for that. You don't have to deal with the Maryland drivers anymore.
I'm not a Maryland fan. Sorry.
Well, no kidding. I mean, you know, that's why we do what we do. And Matt's not even a Maryland fan. He just says he is. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Second Opinion. We got a great show ahead of you tonight. We're going to talk a little World Cup here. First segment, but we're going to have a couple of guys I like a lot. I've known Mike Wise for years. Mike has been a writer with the Washington Post for, God, I bet 25 years. He's probably about 10 years younger than me. Mike's got to be about 50. Big basketball guy, played basketball in college at a small college, I think,
Cover
out
the
in
Knicks
California. Cover the Knicks. Has been with a lot of different periodicals and you know, and he's even had his hand slapped a few times by the Post for things he said on the air when
he had
the Mike Wise show for 2 or 3 years on 106.7 The Fan in Washington. That didn't pan out for him. And then we got the guy that basically replaced him in the last couple of years. Grant Paulson is going to be on the show at 10:35 if you want to tune in. And with Grant, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk NFC East because there's not a better beat writer, and I know you agree with me, Roy, than Grant Paulson.
I mean, Grant
Paulson's been doing this, hello, since he was like 8 or 9 years old. He was on the Letterman show when he was 10. He's been with everybody. And then all of a sudden when he hit 13, 14, 15, 16, he wasn't that little kid commentator anymore, and he started just going after his career. Parents thought he was crazy because he would drive from King George County, Virginia, all the way to Baltimore to see games and cover them and write a blog and do all of that. Now he's a big name. He's on XM Radio several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
He's the busiest man in show business. That used to go to James Brown. It now goes to Grant H. Paulson. And we're going to have him on at 10:35. All right, let's talk World Cup. United States. Talk about it, Roy.
The greatest loss in American history.
Greatest loss in American history. We got beat, and we didn't get beat by too many goals. That had something to do with it, right,
yeah,
Matt?
Well, it comes down to the goal differential, which Portugal...
And we almost tied it up at the end anyway. If I'd have been out on the field in my younger days, I'd have drilled that one into the corner. Yeah.
No, he would have been drilled in the corner.
Yeah, he would have been drilled in the
corner. Nobody on that field could drill me. Those guys are the biggest bunch of wimps I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, they're talented, but they're wimps.
I
got kicked in the
What does he
once.
Think this is? A damn championship heavyweight boxing match? He bit him in the shoulder. Now, isn't that assault?
Yes, and that's why.
What if he had meningitis, or what if he had AIDS? I mean,
I
wouldn't be on the soccer field.
Maybe. Well,
who knows?
Magic Johnson did it on a basketball court.
Well, but I think stop, Roy! You racist.
He did. You're a racist. Matthew Johnson had AIDS.
Where are you from? Are you from the Clippers? Did the Clippers send you here?
That is a fact, sir.
No. He didn't have full blown AIDS. He was HIV positive.
Yes, right. He had the HIV.
Yeah, and you know, and hope. But you know what? Luckily, his wife never did catch. She was never diagnosed HIV positive.
Right.
So as soon as he knew,
he has a cure.
As soon as
bathing.
Can I talk for a second? As soon as he knew. You know, he shared his information with everybody, mm-hmm. and it seems like everybody, at least that I know about, including his wife, was not HIV positive. And Magic has managed to live a pretty long life so far.
That's right. Now he owns the Dodgers.
Yeah, and now he owns 1% of the Dodgers, which is a lot of money because they're worth $2.5 billion.
Yeah, really,
so what is that, 25 million? Yeah, and I don't know if he even had to put any money in. He probably had to put the deposit down.
Probably
put the deposit down. And they probably got money at some incredible rate, like 3% or something. But let's talk about the World Cup. United States plays who, Matt?
We play Belgium.
Belgium next.
All right, now let me ask you this.
I pretty much know as much as Matt now at this point.
That's good. What language do Belgians speak?
Waffle.
They speak waffle?
See? Told you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Spell waffle.
W-O-Q noon, niner,
this is a terrible bit.
Three.
It's a terrible bit.
Do you have a learning disability, Matt? All right.
They speak French.
And, basically.
And Dutch and a little bit of German.
Because they're like, they've been taken over by,
Wikipedia.
Haven't they been taken over by
I knew French, but I didn't know the other two. But yes, they might as well be playing Germany 2.0 here. Or actually, it's Germany would be the upgrade. So this is kind of the smaller version of Germany. So I mean, they're a solid. They're a solid soccer team, and a lot from what I hear, we match up really well with them. So I think the Americans pose a pretty good chance. I don't know if we can keep
why
it up.
Why is
this
call and it can't get through?
We got a
it
lot
says
of
the Google number does not show up.
Hey, we're good. Matt, if Matt would stop doing his little bit about Belgium people speaking, maybe we'd have a better, time getting our guests on there, buddy. But
he was asking me.
We move on.
Yeah, the Google subscriber, Matt, you just cost me a guy. Come on, get him on that. Get
him
on the line.
Guy.
Hey,
so,
Mike.
He's not there yet. Not yet. Portugal, the reason why we got through is because Portugal got blown out by the
Hello,
Germans.
Mike. Hey, Mike.
That's good stuff.
Michael.
Can you get him on, Matt?
Sounded like his wife, Matt. Yeah, could you do that and let Roy and I kind of do our job while you do yours?
Right.
So anyway.
So yeah, Portugal does not move on because they
this
got
is really
blown
working out,
out
well this
stuff.
Morning.
So Portugal got blown out by Germany. So I believe it was like 4-0, 3-0, 4-0. So basically, we just had to tie or not lose by four goals or lose that four-goal differential. So Portugal beats Ghana 2-1, which it was best-case scenario for us because we only had to lose by, it was like two goals or something like that. So we did okay.
Hey,
we moved on.
I can't hear anything.
So it was the greatest loss in American history. And there we go.
Hey, right. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, hi, Bruce.
Can you hear me, buddy?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can't hear myself. Now I can hear myself. We're having some technical difficulties.
Our board office had a really bad morning.
Mike, you've never had a bad board op in your life. I know that for a fact. We have a great one, but for some reason, when we talk about World Cup for a minute, he goes crazy.
He just blanks out.
Michael Wise, it's
probably one of those things, anti-American bias.
Exactly. Well, no, exactly. Hey, listen, I miss you. I used to listen to you all the time. I don't talk to you very often. I see you at ball games more than anything else. Everything going good for you right now?
Yeah, it's all right. I really don't miss you. I haven't really seen you in a while, and it's not like anything in my life is missing. It's weird, Bruce. It's really weird.
Well, now, do you still have one child? You've got you got OJ, right? Your son?
Yeah. Parental James Wise. No, it's actually Oliver. Oliver Jacob. He's 3.5.
Oh, man.
He's actually 3.75. Mm-hmm. One so far.
He probably looks like he's 7 years old by now. He's got to be tall.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure your son was born right around the time my son was, because I remember you were on the air when your son was born, and my son had just been born, too. So you were, it's right around, September, October area, right?
Correct. See? He was born September 10th.
Look at that.
2010.
Good old brain.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, that's
super. That's great. Congratulations.
Hey, congratulations to you. We made it to 3.5 years. We're doing pretty good.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, one of the big reasons.
Yeah, there's a couple. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Let me just say this. One of the reasons we had you on was obviously to talk about one of the big things in the NFL right now, and it's a national story, and one of the reasons it is because, you and not just you, but a lot of people kind of took the bull by the horns and went the direction that a lot of people feel that it needed to go, which was the Redskins name change. Daniel Snyder, being the kind of guy he is, and I think you and I both feel the same way about Mr. Snyder, isn't a great guy. He wants to do what he wants to do. It's all about him. It's all about, his organization and his money. And now some things are happening. Can you just take us through what happened and kind of the chain of events to this point?
Well, the biggest thing, I think, and, you know, as far as Dan Snyder goes, look, I don't really know him, so I can't say if I don't like him. I don't think he runs a very good football
team. I don't like him, and I don't know him.
And that, you don't know him, you don't like him. But, you know, you hear stories, and, you know, I've had maybe three conversations with him in 10 years, and, you know, and they've been kind of superficial, and they haven't been over the time, you know, and he's never sort of let down his guard, and which is fine. It's, you know, it's his prerogative. So I don't really know him. All I know is what he's done on the field as an owner and how it's, you know, angered a lot of fans. And that includes, you know, 14 seasons with three playoff appearances. And so just from a sort of a basic football standpoint, you know, his stewardship hasn't been all that bang up. But as far as the name change goes, you know, I can't really put a pinpoint it, but the last 18 months or so, it's picked up a national steam that I've never seen before. And many different groups are involved now on many different levels. And so I don't really know how, to be honest, I think part of it got here because of Robert Griffin III. Mm-hmm. I think once he had that unbelievable rookie year, people for the first time in a long time nationally started to go, hey, wait, these guys could be part of the conversation. And not just the bad news bears, you know.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, I think a lot of people took notice because of him, to be honest. And then, you know, and then I guess January of 2013, there started to be a little bit of, I wrote a column, Cortland Malloy from the Post wrote a column. There was a symposium at the National Museum of the American Indian in February of last year. And then March, the court thing was renewed because the trademark and patent court actually heard both sides. And then it took them about a year to decide on it. And then if you want, I mean, and you guys might disagree with me, but I think the biggest thing in this whole name change controversy that's now become a campaign on both sides, it was, I don't think there was anything bigger than when Eric Brady of USA Today kept asking Dan Snyder, what if these American Indians are offended? What if they? And he finally just snapped and he said, never, mm-hmm. never. Well, you can put that in caps.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
And so once that came out, I'm not saying he had to go underground and, you know, keep his name as long as he could. But once he came out, it was sort of like, here, I'm putting my chin out. You want to fight? Let's go. And all of a sudden, people like American Indian groups, people on different sides of the fight were sort of like, wait a minute. I was on the fence about this. This guy's not going to even talk to these people? All right, let's go. Let's go right now.
I agree.
And from then on, the United Nations, you know, does a national radio campaign. They have a big press conference. They've launched their changethemascot.org thing. And all of a sudden, senators get involved like they never had before. It became crazy.
It's unreal. Hey, Mike, can you hold on real quick? Because we got a late start anyway. One more segment I got to have. This is too important not to talk about. Can you hold?
Yeah.
All right. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'll be right back with Mike Wise of the Washington Post in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, #BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back with Mike Wise of the Washington Post. We're talking about the Redskins' possible name change. We're talking about mm-hmm. the loss of the trademark yep. that's under appeal right now, Mike. Is that correct?
Correct. I don't know. I don't know if it's been filed yet, but mm-hmm. but it's supposed to be. The team's definitely appealing it, and they're hoping to get, you know, a good 2-4 years before they have to either take it to another court or, see how it plays out. The trademark lawyers that have been quoted believe that the team is not going to win an appeal this time. Hmm. Not only does it go to a lower court, different court than it did the last time they won an appeal, but the way they won an appeal was called a laches law, where the plaintiffs they said were too old to file the suit and be offended for some reason. So it was a technicality. The opinions, even though it was 2-1, they were written in such a way that it was so detailed. Anything that the team says, and God bless Bob Raskoff, their owner, I mean their lawyer from Quinn Emanuel in New York, the team thinks that they're going to win this. I will bet Bob Raskoff my pink slip off my my car for his car, and he's probably got a nicer one, so it's a good deal for me.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you this, and I want to get into this because, you know, it's radio, and we're dealing, this is like, you know, we're dealing with a certain amount of time here. I'm in favor of changing the name. Tell us how you feel about it personally, and then tell us why you feel about it. And then Roy, luckily we got Roy on the show, and Roy feels very blatantly the other way, but we'll be able to do this in a very humane manner. Tell us why you feel the way you do.
Let's not do it in a humane manner. Let's just fight and have good ratings.
That's right.
Well, if we did that, what we would do is have a ring and boxing gloves.
Good ratings. This isn't a civil PBS debate.
No, you're right.
I can't change his mind. He sure as hell can't change mine.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I think we need to do this. Well, go ahead, Roy. I want to hear your rationale.
Okay.
For this great name.
Sure. Well, I mean, to me, it boils down to the way that the name is used and the originality of the name. Like, I liken the name Redskins to the word rednecks or to the word Yankees, whereas there are certain groups of individuals where the name has now changed rationale. Whereas if you look at the name rednecks, it originated with a group of boycotters who wore red bandanas around their necks in Virginia's and West Virginia Hills, and it was seen as a rebellion a lot like the American flag. And all of a sudden, that got turned into a curse word. And now, if you call somebody from the South a redneck, or if you call them a Yankee, they'll get offended. Whereas the name Redskins was originated in the Native American tribes. I mean, you can go back to certain treaties where they refer to themselves as Redskins in negotiations with colonists and the French and stuff like that. And it wasn't until, I believe it was the guy who wrote The Wizard of Oz, where he wrote a memoir calling for the annihilation of the Native American people. I believe it was in the mid-1800s, where that's when pop culture and the American people started referring to it as a slur word or a derogatory term. Whereas, so that my whole landing on this is where you pick up the word. Are you using it in a word to kind of take care of these people, you know, and show respect, or are you using it as a beat down word?
Well, I think that's not a bad argument, and you're going with the etymology of the word, which goes back to Ives Goddard's Smithsonian article. And actually, it was first used by it was first in printed form during the Indian Wars, and officers used the term Redskins in their journals.
Mm-hmm.
The Oz thing came later.
Right.
But basically, it's been used as a derogatory slur. A lot of Native Americans, who their parents that are fighting the issue today, and their grandparents, have no historical connotation of what you're talking about. They remember being taken out of off their reservations, mm-hmm. and put into Catholic schools and having their hair trimmed and basically called dirty Redskins, and that they had to conform to a white way of life. Now, I don't know about you, but if that was my history, mm-hmm. and if that's what that's how I internalized the word, intent wouldn't matter. Like, I totally can put myself in the shoes of Bruce Allen and anybody that Dan Snyder and anybody that grew up with this name from childhood and see, man, this is part of your life. This connects your generations, and you've never used this word in a derogatory manner. But when people like that, and I can put them I can put myself in their shoes and go, you know what, why are people calling these people racist and insensitive? They, all they want to do is keep a word that they've always treated well. Well, mm-hmm. that doesn't matter. Intent doesn't matter in this one. I would love it for Bruce Allen or anybody else to put themselves in the Native Americans' shoes, who are actually called Dirty Redskins as mm-hmm. kids, and their kids grow up with that. And they said they had a thing in Northern California recently where that was written on a kid's locker. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still used as a bullying term in some places in this country. It's usually known as an NFL team's name, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that there's scores and scores of Native Americans out there who basically don't want it to be their name. They don't want to be caricatured anymore. That's the bottom line. And by the way, I know nobody that calls anybody a Yankee, and if they do, they're not really offended by it. Rednecks, I think there's some Southern pride thing.
Well, you know what? Rednecks, Jeff Foxworthy's made millions of dollars off of that word. Mm-hmm. And most guys...
Well, Jay-Z is... you're right, Bruce, and Jay-Z and Common and Young Jeezy have made millions off the N-word. Although Maya Angelou... the late Maya Angelou, Oprah Winfrey, every civil rights leader that actually stood for something in the 60s to try to get that word abolished, mm-hmm. they want it gone, and they're trying to communicate to the hip-hop community it's wrong. Mm-hmm. So when I hear like, for instance, Daniel Snyder has scoured the country and found 500 Native Americans that like the name, to me that's Jay-Z in Common. All right, great. Fred Smoot, of all people, had the best quote on this. He said, "The offended... The people who aren't offended by this really don't matter. It's the people who are offended. Until we start talking about Native Americans that don't like this name, all we are doing is playing like gun rights lobby. I think guns should be banned, and you think they should not mm-hmm. be banned. And we come up with our own agendas. Until we ask the people that are offended how they feel and why, mm-hmm. I don't think we really have a say."
So we're talking to Mike Wise here at the Washington Post, and this is one of the best back and forths I've heard about this. Real quick, Mike, I want to throw in my two cents because I am a little different because I'm in between you guys. In other words, I'm not educated enough and haven't read enough about all of this to even be on Royce level. Let me tell you where I'm coming from. I have Cherokee blood in my body. I have always felt a little like we just destroyed an entire group of people almost in this country when we came over. And you know, we could have done it differently, but we were savages, you know, ourselves. I mean, we called the Indians savages, and that's how I guess we got away with moving them from, you know, Williamsburg all the way to the West Coast. I don't know, but I feel guilty about it. And if the guy that originally owned this team, who was a devout racist, who was the last guy, I'm talking about George Preston Marshall, the guy that started the Redskin Band, the guy that used them as like, you know, like just a little, like a vaudeville act almost. You know, he was a showman, right, Mike? The guy was not a good guy. He was a bad guy. He was a racist guy. And if this guy made the name, I'd just as soon get rid of it anyway. If one person is offended, am I wrong too? I mean, somebody.
Go ahead, Roy. You weigh in.
Yeah.
I mean, there are that when you get into is there one person offended? I mean, we can all find something to be offended about anything. I mean, there are names in sports that offend me as a white Southerner that other people will look at me and say, "What are you talking about?" Like the Blue Jackets, the Yankees. I mean, those names to me are more political than they need to be, and they offend a group of people. Now, I don't think that those names should be changed because they do play a part in the American history and the American culture, much like does the Native American. As Americans and, you know, Canadians play into this, and when you look into Mexico and some of those South American countries, the Native American plays a huge role. And if you are going to, you know, recognize these people in a, you know, a classy way instead of a derogatory way, then I feel that is you're more celebrating your past, your history of a country as a people, as a continent. That's how I look at it.
I appreciate that. You're breaking up a little bit. Of course,
I'm sorry.
I'm basically controlling your voice box because anything you say I don't like, I just start messing with.
No, but that's perfect.
So I get what you're saying. I can assure you, no Native American who's offended. And look, I've been to the Pine Ridge Reservation. I've been to the Crow Agency in Montana. I've been to the Hopi Reservation in Arizona. I've been to national powwows. I'm not saying that I have internalized every American Indian's feelings, because I've met people who actually they don't like the name, but they don't really care about it. They're like, mm-hmm. either don't know enough about it, or they don't care.
Right.
Divided Indian country isn't those who like it versus those who don't. It's sort of, no, those who want it gone versus those who really don't care.
Right.
And that's a different divide than sort of we like it versus, as far as you know, we take away this name and we take away the Chiefs and the Braves, and all of a sudden there's going to be no Native American history. I can guarantee you that no Native American offended wants their history to be the stereotype of a John Wayne movie. The whole warrior brave mentality, that whole image, a lot of them want it gone. They like that there was a Sitting Bull and that there was the Chief Joseph of the Nez Perce, that they fought valiantly against an insurmountable army, but like that their people are remembered by this only. A lot of them are becoming educators today. They're trying to become doctors and lawyers. A lot of them are trying to get off the reservation.
Right.
And so you're telling them this is what their history is, a dead people. They don't want that. I guarantee you they don't want that. And so the idea that somehow we're going to wipe history away, we go, oh my goodness, Native American culture might be lost if we don't have Chief Wahoo on the cap of the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
My God, what will we do? It's like painting a mustache on the Mona
Lisa. Yeah. Hey, Mike, we got about 1 minute left. Sum up exactly where this thing is headed and what kind of timeline you foresee. Hey, Michael?
It may have just dropped.
We must have just lost Mike. I love Mike. You know what? That was a heck of an interview. Sometimes when we get calls, especially if they're done through a computer, we will lose them, and a lot of it has to do with it. We're going to be back in a minute with more on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Thanks for listening in wherever you may be, whether it be New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, all of the above. We thank you. You can listen in on the TuneIn Radio app.
Yeah, you can now.
So do that.
We just got dumped just for a quick second. But listen, we had a great... That was one of the best interviews I've ever heard.
Because it wasn't even an interview.
It was a very mild discussion. But it was done in a way that... It just showed to me, and I was very impressed with your background, Roy, on that. And we've talked briefly, but not to that extent about it. Mm-hmm. But you're very passionate about that side. Mm-hmm. Mike Wise is obviously very, very passionate about his side because he has basically headed it up with all of the reporters nationwide.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike is the front guy for making this name go away.
It's not because
Mike, you know, a lot of people feel different ways. We've got a caller in. Grant, is that you, buddy?
This is Grant H. Paulson.
This is Tony Mazur.
Tony Mazur.
Tony, I need you calling in at 11:30, big fella. If I put 10, I was wrong. But can you give us a call right back at 11:30?
No, I suppose I can.
All right, man, because we got to talk about LeBron and all of that. Okay.
Oh boy.
And by the way, if you read your, I hope I put 11:30 on everything I sent out on Twitter.
Probably not.
Oh, I'll check and see. Tony, call us back at 11:30. We'll have the one, the only Tony Mazur on, talking about LeBron, talking about Johnny Manziel at 11:30.
That's called a tease in the business.
That's a tease. Thank you for that verbal live tease, Tony, all right?
He jumped in and jumped right out.
Yeah, jeez.
So we will be talking some LeBron.
Tony's probably not sports. Even been to bed yet.
He's got a new show, though.
Talk about it. Let's plug him.
Yeah, I'll plug him because I'm sure he'll be too modest to talk about it when he comes on. But it's a TV-ish show on, I believe it's called Cleveland Sense. And then there's the, they go to different bars. And it's basically like a general talk show that they do in Cleveland with a couple different people. I'll talk to him about the hosts that are with him. But great show. I tuned in. This past Wednesday, I believe it runs from noon to one. It's an hour show. They're sponsored by Miller Lite and Lionkugel, and he's doing his thing. So yeah, I definitely tuned in for that, and it seemed like they were doing pretty good for Mr. Tony Mazur.
Yeah, it is, and I'll tell you, Tony's a great guy too, and he's going places. It's funny, all my favorite people in the radio business are in their mid-20s.
Thanks.
Well, it's true. You're in your mid-20s. Grant Paulson, who's going to be calling in, is in his mid-20s, and when We just got off the phone with Mike. Oh, that's right.
Mike Wise is pretty much.
He's like a double 20, mid 20s kind of guy. You know, Mike has an interesting background. I mean, you could literally have a show. I mean, the guy had his own talk show for a while, and you could have a show with just Mike on telling stories because his stories are great. Yeah. He's got some great stories.
We're going to have Mike back on to talk some hoops because that dude's a hoop head.
No, he's a big time hoop head. He really is. You know what we should do? Waiting on Grant H. Paulson to call is we probably ought to just take a peek at the games that we're going to be teasing for the last segment of the show.
Sure.
Roy and I, in the last, I'd say 4 weeks, we're about 70% on all of our plays.
Now.
We are destroying it. One day I was 8-for-8. Which is sick in baseball. I'm looking at the games today. You got Aaron Harang with the Braves at the Phillies. Harang is having a better year than Buchanan with the Phillies. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. A lot of people will take the Braves here. I'm passing on it. Bartolo Colon, New York Met fans, at Edinson Volquez with the Pirates. Well, the Mets don't have David Wright. They also don't have a glimmer of hope in doing anything. I'm taking Volquez with the Pirates. Volquez is actually pitching very well now. The Rockies are at the Brewers. De La Rosa at Gallardo. I don't like De La Rosa. He's not pitching well. Gallardo pitching great. The Brewers have the second best record, or they may have the first best, the best record in the major leagues right now. They've won over 50 games. Take the Brewers in this game at home. You got to do it. I'd also take the over in this game, no matter what it is. Reds are at the Giants. I'm not playing the Giants ever again. They've been on a tailspin. They were 9.5 games out in front. Now they're toast.
I played the Giants. I believe it was
two weeks ago. Leave them alone.
And they screamed.
And you got Homer Bailey, who beat them not long ago in Cincinnati. I'm going to pass on the game. The Cardinals are at the Dodgers. Hey, you want to get some money back? Clayton Kershaw. He looks like Clayton Kershaw now. They're starting to swing the bat. They're trying to take first place in the National League West. Take the Dodgers minus the 220. I don't care. They're going to beat the Cards. The Cards are playing like crap. Yadi Molina's still out. You got the Diamondbacks at the Padres. Padres fired their GM, Josh Byrne, this week. I listened to an interview with him on XM Radio on the way over here. Mm-hmm. Boy, is that guy pissed.
Was it after Lincecum no-hit him?
No, yeah, it was like yesterday. Timmy,
that's the second time in a couple of years.
We need
right?
to talk about that before we go into the next segment. You also have the Razor at the Orioles. You got Cobb at Gonzalez. I'm taking the Orioles. The Orioles are playing well. They're at home. They just swept a doubleheader yesterday, right?
I don't know.
I think they did. And you know who swept the doubleheader? Your Nationals, Roy.
That's right. They swept the doubleheader.
Yeah, White Sox are at the Blue Jays. You got Mark Burley, who's been trying to win his 11th game, seems like for a month, against Quintana. Take Burley, take the Blue Jays. They're going to win. Tigers at the Astros, pass. Tigers are starting to play some ball. I don't play against the Astros at home. I like the Astros, but I'm leaving the game alone. The Angels are at the Royals. You got Wilson at Guthrie. Guthrie and Exoriole.
Wilson
is pitching well. I'm going to leave that game alone. The Twins are at the Rangers, two teams that I'm not real popular on. Grant, is that Grant H. Paulson on the line?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Not much, Grant. Hey. How you doing, man? I'm sitting here with Roy Edwards, who says he's had you on his show before.
This is Guy Paulson, right?
Grant Paulson.
Is this Guy Paulson?
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
Hey, Grant, I was reading up a little bit on you. You're from King George County originally, Virginia?
Yes.
Do you ever remember a guy by the name of Hal Baird, B-A-I-R-D? Now, your dad would know him. It probably not you, but he was a hell of a baseball player. And listen, he was the head coach at Auburn, and he coached. I played college ball with him. He was the head coach for Bo Jackson and for Frank Thomas. When he was at Auburn.
Oh, wow.
He's from King George.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's like 5'10", 175 pounds, threw the ball 90 miles an hour back when it was hard to throw 90, and guys weren't coming down with TJ every 2 weeks. It was pretty wild.
Right.
Grant, you're
yeah,
also...
No, I didn't realize his history, but yeah, I've heard his name. I know they've got a couple things up at the school with his name on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was like my big brother. I went to college, believe it or not. I was 16 when I got down there, and Hal was probably 20, 21. He was a senior, and I swear he hung a slider to me in a scrimmage, and I hit it off the fence, and that was the only reason I made the damn team. And I'm pretty sure he did it. I'm pretty sure he did it on purpose. But it's great to have you on. I'm a big fan. Matter of fact, I don't get that excited around 26-year-old guys, but I'm excited to have you on the show. And let me just say this. What you're doing, you are the busiest man in show business, in my opinion. Every time I turn on XM, I hear you because I'm listening to Major League Baseball all the time. And your show with Grant, called Grant and Danny, right, mm-hmm. on 106.7 from 10 to 2 every day during the week, right?
106.7 The Fan.
That is you. So listen, let's talk.
Are you on weekdays?
Yep, weekdays from...
Can you hear me? I think you guys are cutting out.
Yeah, we're okay. We're just Matt's having a hell of a time this morning.
10 to 2, I believe.
Yeah, 10 to 2, Monday through Fridays, right?
Yeah, the Monday, Friday, 2 and 106.7, The Fan, essentially, it's a PC-oriented.
Hey, Grant, can you hear me?
We're breaking up. Grant is breaking up at the moment. Grant, we'll get Grant back on here. See if you can get him back on, Matt.
Yeah. And call him back.
But yeah, it is he's the Grant and Danny show. He is from 10 to 2 on 106.7 The Fan. And I believe what he was going to say is a PC family show with the two of them. It's a great show. I listen to the show. I'm constantly sitting
at
my desk.
Hey Grant, sorry
to
about that. We're having some connection problems this morning. No worries at all, guys. You've never had that problem on any of your shows, have you?
It seems like all too often now, man. It's great because technology allows you to connect with anybody you want to, but it'll bring you down too.
Yeah, I know. Very quickly. And listen, let me just ask you this. Now, you do a show every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 called Minors and Majors on XM. And I got to tell you, for a baseball fan, that is a great show. Because, it's unbelievable because what you do is, even for a baseball guy like myself, I always learn one or two things just listening to you that I had no idea about. And I love that. Hey, but listen, talk about a segue. We're going to go right into the NFL football because, in my opinion, you're the best beat writer in Washington. It's not even close. I mean, and you're also you have a show, so you've worked for Dan Snyder at 980, but CK, went out and probably made the best hire he's ever made in his life when he gave you a deal to come over to 106.7 The Fan, which at the time was, you guys were in Fairfax, but now you guys are over by the stadium now. Tell us how that was. I mean, was that kind of just what you were always looking for in this, what made that stand out as such a good move?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I've been lucky enough to do radio for a long time. My uncle was a very successful, popular morning show host who, for people in this area listening, I comp to like the sports junkie in terms of his value to the market and how long he'd been around. And so I used to call into his show and do football picks as a little kid and kind of got my start that way. And then when I was no longer young or cute anymore, kind of went away and I had to kind of work for everything. But I always knew I wanted to do radio. The end game for me still to this day is probably different than what I'm doing in this moment, in that I have aspirations of doing play-by-play in the NFL and MLB on a national level and things like that. But I hadn't actually considered doing the day-in, day-out beat reporting to the extent that I did until I had that job offer from Chris Kiner, who you mentioned, my program director. I was working at the Fan already, actually, and I was covering the Wizards a little bit, kind of stringing from games, getting audio occasionally, doing some blogs and write-ups on them, and was helping Chris Russell with our Redskins coverage a little bit as a second-in-command almost. And when Chris Russell went over to 980, it was kind of an available job to interview for, and I did. I didn't think I would get it. CK hired me, which was very cool of him. And within a couple months, I was on the beat and learning a lot. It was the best job I've ever had. I had a blast. You get to learn about football every day from smart people. You get to be around a team you grew up watching and admiring and cheering for. And while you're no longer a fan, it takes you kind of on the inside, which everyone, I think, would crave for. So I have no complaints about my 4 years on the beat. I really liked it, and there's a lot of benefit to being in studio full-time now, but I'll certainly miss being out at Redskins Park every day.
So, Grant, being on the beat, and this is probably one of the bigger years that the Washington Redskins have had in a long time, new head coach. We get, a big-name free agent wide receiver, which in history, if you follow the Redskins, that seems to happen every year, but not DeSean Jackson. So now we have people calling our wide receiving core one of the tops in all the league. Do you buy into this? And what's with every time we turn around, it seems like a name is being signed to this wide receiving core.
Yeah, I think their wide receiving group is really good. I don't buy some of the publications that are listing them number one overall because I think they lack a true game-breaking, top-shelf number one who wins you football games. You know, there's only a handful of guys like that in the NFL, but I don't know that the Redskins have one of those guys. I mean, Pierre Garçon's the number one wide receiver. He's tremendous, and he led the NFL in targets and catches last year. But you know, this year in this group, he's probably going to catch 80 balls, go for 1,150, 1,200 yards, and maybe score 6 or 7 touchdowns if everything goes well. You couple that with DeSean Jackson as a strike-up-the-band speed threat after the catch, makes people miss. Just a lethal player as an adversary in an opposition over the last couple of years who cost the Redskins so much. People know how dangerous he is. His skill set is one that there's only one or two players like him in the sport. So they have two very quality options on the outside. They spent $16 million guaranteed on Andre Roberts, the nimble guy working on number three corners in the slot. Then Denham Moss will likely make this team at some point. They'll get Leonard Hankerson back healthy as a number five. So I actually think their depth is very good. It is a deep group. It's probably one of the five best on paper in football, thanks largely to the Jackson acquisition. But there are better groups than Washington. And I think they just have to go out and prove it before we anoint them. Mm-hmm. Now, we've seen in the past with this team, they've had what looks like a great compilation of players in a position group on paper, and then someone goes down or someone underachieves, and it's all for naught. One thing I'll say is they lack size for me. You know, yeah. There's not anybody over 6'1 that's healthy that you would pencil in to be able to outleap a defender or go get the rock in the red zone. I know a lot of people feel like the idea of needing height is overrated, but where I think it's important is from the strike area, which is what I call the 30 and in, and the red area, 20 and in. When all of a sudden the field gets a little bit more narrow, you can no longer go side to side. Now horizontal becomes vertical, and you got to go up. You got to out-jump people. I'm not sure that they have that guy. So until they do, they're not a complete group for me, but they're a well-built, fast, post-catch, scary, several wide receiver deep assortment of players that I think is going to help Robert Griffin really have a strong third season.
Right, and to offset a good running game. Mm-hmm. The thing that worries me about them, and we're going to break here in a minute, Grant, but I want you to stay on for another segment. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, that'd be great. The thing that scares me about this Redskin group, and I'm old school. You know, I'm an old hog guy. I mean, I used to work the door at Limerick's in Falls Church when the Redskins were winning Super Bowls and going to Super Bowls in the early 80s, late 70s. And they don't have the offensive line. I mean, I think their offensive line is average at best. What do you think?
Yeah, their offensive line has to be better this year. Evaluated the position on a different wavelength than most people did over the last few years because Mike Shanahan preaches smaller, sometimes undersized, mm-hmm. less strength up front,
right,
body, and more agility, mobility, and a propensity to get down the line of scrimmage and put a body on someone, you know, laterally with movement, more so than road grade, push them out of the way. So you get a guy at left guard and Corey Lichtensteiger the last few years who was out of football when Shanahan was. You get a guy at center, Will Montgomery, who's a former practice squad scrappy guy. You get a guy at right guard and Chris Chester was a backup in Baltimore, and at right tackle and Tyler Columbus, who they signed after Seattle cut him midway through his season. Now, Lichtensteiger kicks over to center. They signed Sean Lovell, who's been a couple years starter in Cleveland. They need Chester to be better at right guard. He had a down year. Lichtensteiger's playing a new position. Lovell's in a new conference. So that's three questions in the middle. Columbus on the right side, they like a lot as a coaching staff, but he is more passable than he is a plus player. And so really only Trent Williams is a blue chipper for them. The left tackle is probably one of the five best players in his position in the sport.
No,
there's a lot, I think, up in the air for them right now, but I think it's a fine group. I don't think it's a good group.
I hear you, Grant. Hold on. We're going to be right back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute with Grant Paulson and more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the phone with Grant Paulson right now. Grant, we just went over the Redskins a little bit. Let's talk about the New York Giants. besides two guys that look like they may be out for the year with some drug suspensions, what do you think the Giants are going to have this year? I look at their roster, and I'm not impressed.
No, I don't think from a talent standpoint they are on par right now with Philadelphia, certainly, or even Washington in terms of the best of the rest in the division, because it's my opinion that the Eagles are the cream of the crop right now and will be for a few years in the East. They're just doing it the right way with Chip Kelly now entering year two, coming off 10 wins, Nick Foles and Riley Cooper having broken out with LeSean McCoy as the best running back in the league last year, and they signed their entire offensive line this offseason for the future. So I think they're kind of the signature team right now in the division everyone's trying to play catch-up with. But in the competition for that number two seed, the Giants this offseason fell behind Washington just as far as personnel goes. They're always better than some of their parts. I always comp them, this is weird geographically, but to the Atlanta Braves in baseball, where as national fans, you go into the year and you say, oh, we got a better rotation and we got a better lineup, and you know, we'll be 8 or 9 games better than Atlanta, and then the season starts and the Braves just play above their heads. When you do it for a full season, maybe you're not playing above your head. When you do it for 2 or 3 straight seasons, maybe that's just kind of who you are. I think the Giants are that type of team. They get more with Tom Coughlin and his coaching staff out of their players than a lot of people do. So they got a really good chance, I think, to compete with Washington for the second spot in the division. They have to get a better year out of Eli Manning. He was horrendous last season, particularly in the first half of the year. Too many interceptions that led to short fields. Too many interceptions that led to touchdowns as well. He was just tumultuous. And when your quarterback plays poorly in the NFL, as easy it is to throw the football and as important a spot on the field as that is, I think it's the single biggest, most important position in all of sports, you don't have a chance. And that was the case for them last year. So he's got to be sharper. If he is, they'll improve. If not, well, they're going to be about where they were this past season.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, the Cowboys are arguably the most 500 team ever. There you could pretty much pencil in 8-8 every year. I look at their roster, and there's some holes in there, but there's a lot of talent there too. But they did lose, didn't they? Just lose their top linebacker for the year.
Yeah, they've got multiple injuries on linebacker. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Bruce, and that's a team defensively that can't afford to have any more injuries. But the linebacker you're speaking to is Sean Lee, who's considered a real playmaker for them. He is not only able to get to the quarterback rushing downhill from the interior in the A-gap, but he's a guy who does a nice job sitting in coverage and reading quarterbacks on throws across the middle. Intercepted Rex Grossman, I know, with the Redskins fairly recently on a play where it's kind of become his calling card, where just kind of jumps a route, makes a pick, and starts running the other direction. He's a good player, and he's a 100-tackle ace, middle of the field, who kind of gets everyone in the right position. When he got hurt last year for them, they paid the price because they didn't have anybody to organize their troops. The one good thing for them about the timing of the injury being at the beginning of camp is that you have enough time to at least make some adjustments and bring in a veteran who can replace them from a leadership standpoint. But for Dallas, they're stagnant. Like Washington, they were up against the cap the last couple of years after being docked $10 million. Mm-hmm. They're actually in worse salary cap positioning than the Redskins were this hiatus, so they couldn't go out and spend much money to get better. They're going to be about 8-8 again. You know, maybe 7-9 or 9-7. This pendulum could swing one way or the other. But I don't think very highly of that team as far as being able to make any kind of a playoff run if they get hot or something like that.
Yeah.
They don't play enough defense, and they don't run the ball well enough.
No, I agree with you. And I tell you, the Eagles, I like what I see in Chip Kelly. I like what he does with that roster. I like his, you know, he has one of the best coaching staffs in football. People don't realize how good the guys are he brought in to work with these guys. And they seem to have just made such a huge turnaround in just the whole, not only the philosophy in Philadelphia, but just the overall kind of positive outlook that Kelly brings to the table. I do like them. I like them winning 9 or 10 games. And I see everybody else kind of being 8-8 or less. I mean, if you had to pick 1 through 4, who would you pick? Just run them out for us and give us their one loss records if you had to be in a pool today.
Yeah, I'll give you team and win count, and this is just, you know, spitballing before the start of camp.
Sure.
Rockets are still going to change and everything, but I would go Eagles 11, I would go Washington 8, I would go New York 7, and I would go Dallas 7, something like that. And I think the Eagles are going to have to combat the fact that defenses will have film and better be able to defend Chip Kelly's offense from a year ago. That said, Foles' natural regression to the mean will mean that they're going to run the ball every bit as much, if not a little bit more than they did last year. More LeSean McCoy is not necessarily a bad thing. If Foles is not as dynamic or prolific and is just more of a game manager and doesn't beat them, I think that's a team with Jeremy Maclin with an elevated role. They had a good draft where they added a couple of pass catchers who are going to help them out. They got younger and more explosive. Really stands the Jackson move across the board. I'm thinking defensively, special teams as well. So I like the way the Eagles are built. This is their division to lose, and I'll be surprised if they don't hoist the Eastern Division crown for a second straight year.
I completely agree with you, and I'm going to turn you over to Roy because he had a question about a draft pick.
Yeah, well, I was one of the many members who had the privilege of listening in on you guys when you guys had the exclusive interview with the Washington Wizards second round pick. First, is he as charismatic as he seemed on air?
Yeah, you know what was interesting about him is I just couldn't believe the candor and some of the answers he gave. Where, you know, a lot of times you have a draft pick on, and they're not going to say a whole lot. They're not going to upset the apple cart or anything like that. This was one of the most candid interviews I think we've done. Some of the insight and the honesty, just the blunt honesty. So if the team was listening, they really had to have been taken aback by some of the things he said.
Yeah, I was amazed to say that he didn't think that he would fit into the system. I mean, how is,
to me it was weird because you hear that, you know, he's a guy who can flash a little bit, get to the rim, and that just wasn't the case, but sounds like he's not a schematic fit, which is unique.
Hey, Grant, thank you so much. Grant Paulson, ladies and gentlemen. Grant, we got to have you on more often. Give me a call anytime. You got to sit with me sometime at the Nats game. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here, the second hour of Second Opinion here on AM 1230 WFAS. Thanks for listening in. If you're on the go, if you're about to hop in the car, turn to the TuneIn Radio app and listen to us there. Just search WFAS. We'll be right there with you, and we can go wherever you want to go today.
And you know what? If you're just tuning in, you just missed four of the best segments we've ever had. We had Mike Wise on with Roy doing a... That was as good as any back and forth I ever heard about the subject because you guys were civil about it and not like you had an IQ of 70 because you don't. You both are intelligent guys that both feel differently about it, and he feels differently for one reason and you feel differently for another reason. And then we had Grant Paulson in. And Grant Paulson is absolutely he'll end up doing – you know what he wants to do? He's going to do it because if CBS or ABC or ESPN or any one of those people do not hire him to be the color or the – he can do color or play-by-play.
Yeah.
He could do what Vin Scully does because he's excellent at both of them. Hell, I could do that because you know me. I don't need somebody there when there's a baseball game going on. I'll talk to anybody who's near me. I'm Bruce Hall, and that's the truth.
Bruce, he's Bruce, and he will talk.
I am Bruce, and I will talk. Yeah, umpires don't like it when I talk, but the hell with those guys.
But for those of you wondering...
They get about half the calls right. If you're listening to my show and you're an umpire, I'm just kidding.
For those of you wondering about...
Hey, flip a coin. That works for me. At least I have just as much of a chance of being safer out if you do that. And please, please, shrink your strike zone, you know... Well, never mind. Just don't worry about it.
If you were wondering about who the second round pick of the Washington Wizards were, and
there wasn't one,
and why we didn't name a name, it's because there wasn't one a second round pick. They traded away the pick for money. I believe it was $2 million, and so Grant and Danny on their show with 106.7 The Fan had a $1 bill sit in with them for a segment, and they went back and forth asking questions for an entire 15-minute period, and it was gold. It was great radio.
You know, you could dress a guy up like in a Gumby suit looking like a dollar bill, too, and interview him. Probably you could do the TV for it, too. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about baseball like we always do, but while we're on – the NFC East and the Giants, and let's face it, in Westchester County, there are a lot of Giants fans. I think what Grant said was pretty accurate. I mean, don't expect anything big from the Giants, but it's not like that's not the way most of the Giants teams come in from the offseason into camp anyway.
Yeah.
When they won two Super Bowls in the last, what, 5-6 years, mm-hmm. nobody expected them to even win the division that year. And then all of a sudden, they came out of nowhere. They got good at the end. Unfortunately for the Giants, the reverse has happened lately. They've developed some injuries. Eli wasn't healthy last year, and they had no shot. You know, I went up and saw the last game of the season in the rain at Giants Stadium in the Meadowlands, and I'm telling you right now, you know, they just didn't look good at all. You know, they've lost, what, two guys to drug suspensions,
yeah.
both defensive backs. I mean, you don't replace good defensive backs. That, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated positions in football, because if you've got a good strong safety, a good weak side guy, and two adequate corners who can cover and tackle, you're going to win a lot of games, because your front seven can be average and just do their job, and you're going to be able to kind of get off the field when you need to.
The thing with me with the New York Giants is what they're going to do about the running back position. They had fumble problems. They had trouble even getting guys to dress. They had to bring Peyton Hillis off the couch last year at one point. So I think that has a
Peyton
lot to do
Hillis.
With
that, yeah. That's unbelievable when you think of it right there.
I think a lot of what had to do with last year with the passing game with the New York Giants and the Eli struggles and everything like that. Yes, it had a lot to do with the injuries that were surrounding him with his wide receiving core, but I think it had more to do with the lack of a running game where teams didn't have to put anybody in the box. They just had to drop back in coverage and pick apart Eli Manning, who was already dealing with a hobbled-up receiving core. So, and you saw that in the Minnesota game when Minnesota really took everybody out of the box, and Peyton Hillis rushed for 100-and-some yards with, like, 2 days, 3 days of practice out underneath him. So,
and then he was sore for the next 3 weeks.
I think that
he couldn't even walk hardly.
Yeah, I mean, so to me, the New York Giants start at the running back position, and they always have. When they had Tiki Barber,
yep.
when they had their games, everything ran off the play action pass.
Sure, they did.
And I don't know if Eli is really that guy yet to take on a secondary without a running game. Well, he's not his brother.
No, but think about their passing game for a second. They had their number one down, you know, the kid from Carolina, you know who he is. He was down most of the season.
Yeah.
And they ended up having the salsa dancer, whatever his name is, I forget, because I'm getting old. Yeah.
Victor Cruz.
Victor Cruz was like their number one, and he's a slot guy.
Yeah.
And he was injured a lot of the season. Mm-hmm. So they ended up having to go down to their 3, their 4, their 5, their 6, their 7.
Right.
And Eli was, what, 70%?
Yeah.
Maybe
he was getting banged up, no running game. His wide receivers were hobbling around. I mean, it was just not a good situation for the Giants last year. But to Grant's point, they stayed around somewhere in the middle where, you know, they were still kind of, you know, they started out 0-6 or something like that and clawed back in. I think they ended up. What, 8-8, something like that, 7-9.
I'm pretty sure they were like, they may have been 6-10. But the thing of it is, with the Giants, what you got to understand is they do have two Super Bowl Vince Lombardi trophies sitting in their building. And those are very recent.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot for, and I got to tell you, you know.
Yeah, they're 7-9.
Jerry Reese is a good GM. There's no question about it. But he always has worked kind of the blue collar end of it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Reese is a guy that knows you got to have good offensive linemen, you got to have really good interior guys on your defense, and you know you got to have safeties too. The Giants would be perfectly, you know, going all the way back to Bill Parcells, Tom Coughlin would be perfectly happy running the football 35 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the kind of team they can do that. Now, they've rebuilt their offensive line because, remember, they got the kid from Pitt in the draft last year. He had a good year. He was solid. They had another kid that they drafted that he turned into an offensive lineman. I don't even think he started out that way. I think he was a tight end, and they moved him up. Point is that the Giants are going to be a lot better this year, I think. But I still agree with Grant. They're going to be 8-8 at best because there's just – I looked at their schedule. I mean, let's go to the Giants' schedule. Can you pull it up, Roy, real
sure.
quick for
yeah.
me? Let's go down it, and I'll call it out like I do in my – you know, because right now we're in almost July. Guess what? I'll be in Vegas in August, and I'll be doing my futures plays in Vegas, and I'm probably going to enter at least one contest I know about and maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
But – that's where I enjoy. I enjoy being able to project how many wins a team's going to have.
The schedule is very interesting. I mean, the first half of their schedule is may as well be a coin toss. They draw a lot of teams who have been in the playoffs.
And they don't have home field advantage, in my opinion. They never do.
They have. All right, so week one, they play the Detroit Lions.
Where?
At Detroit.
That's a loss.
And Detroit could be a very good football team.
May be the best. They may be the team this year in that division. Now, they've made changes. Yeah. You know, they made a lot of changes. They finally got rid of a coach you and I both don't mm-hmm. like. Martin Mayhew kept his job as general manager, former cornerback for the Redskins. And they've added some pieces that are going to make them a lot more dynamic and probably better. Plus, their front mm-hmm. four, their front seven, they're very physical guys. You know, you got Ndamukong Suh, you got the other kid Fairley from Auburn. You got all these guys mm-hmm. that can rush the passer. They just have to get off the field and let the offense score some points. And they've got Matthew Stafford, mm-hmm. who throws for what, 5,000 yards every year,
right.
And he's got the best wide receiver in the game.
These first seven games, the Giants could go 0-7 just as easily as they.
Well,
could
let's
go
do
7
it. They're 0-1 with that.
After
keep
that,
going.
They host an Arizona Cardinals team, who to me has secondary in all
I'm going to say 0-2. Go to the next one.
But they could very well win that game as
well.
Yeah, so
maybe.
I mean, these are coin flip games. The next game, they are at home against the Houston Texans, a team who I had going to the Super Bowl the next year, and then they flop and go 2-14 or whatever they went this year.
I'm going to say 0-3. No, I'm going to say 1-2. Keep going.
We'll get back to the schedule when we get back.
All right, pay attention. This is very important for anybody out there that owns real estate or a home. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm a realtor, and I'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
The New York Giants are a team to me. Last year, they were 7-9. Started out 0-6.
You know I love the Giants because I picked them to win the Super Bowl that year, mm-hmm. and everybody thought I was out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to win, people, but I don't see it this year.
The New York Giants are extremely confusing to me.
Rebuilding, I would say.
I mean, like I said, they could easily go 0-7 their first seven games, as they could 7-0. We're breaking down these games.
All
right,
we're 0-3. Good.
And right now we're 0-3.
Yeah, I got them 0-3.
The next game, they are at Landover, Maryland, to play the Washington Redskins.
0-4.
I mean,
if Robert Griffin's 100%, they're not going to lose that game to the Giants. Because the Redskins have a better offense. They're going to be able to run the football. And they've got four. They don't even have. They lost two of their starting safeties to drug issues.
Mm-hmm. And this
they're done.
This is a primetime game. This is Thursday night game.
It'll be
in
better
Washington.
For Washington than it would be for New York, having to come down here Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the next, they are back at home.
Right.
And they're taking on an Atlanta Falcons team. Who have a great receiving core.
Yeah.
Had a down year a year ago, but are still a very, very good football team.
Let's say they win that game.
This team was five yards away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Can we give them a win there, though?
I'm going to
give them a win.
But
okay.
I don't think that's an easy game.
No, but I think that one of the others could be a win, so I'm giving them a win here.
I mean, you talk about secondary. Julio Jones.
Yeah, I know.
And the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, now, remember, he didn't finish the season last year. He was hurt. So he's probably going to be 100%.
And Roddy White was hurt back. Banged
they
up
were
last
all
year.
Hurt. Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the best receiving cores. I mean, if Washington is the best receiving core in the league,
Tony,
like a lot of people
they don't have Tony
said,
G coming back, though. No tight end. Gonzalez isn't coming back. Oh, let's give them a win there, though. They're 1-5. Is that correct?
We'll give them a win.
All right, go ahead. Next game.
All right, so the next game, they are on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, that's a loss, big time. That's a division game against a better team. They're 1-7.
We have a 1-5.
1-5. I'm right sorry.
So then now they fly to Texas and they take on the spaceship and the Dallas Cowboys before their bye week.
They're going to lose that game that early in the season. They could win in December, but they're not going to win that game.
So we
Cowboys
have
always play better in the first half than they do in the second half.
So we have them 1-6 beating a very good Atlanta Falcons team.
That's exactly right. Yeah. They're not very good. They're average. If you look, the Falcons were 4-12, remember?
I mean, this could easily be the other way around. This could easily be a 6-1
for this could be everybody gets fired year. Keep going.
So then they go
and, that's not a stretch what I just said. Everybody gets fired.
Three primetime games for the New York Giants in the beginning of the season. They have a 7 p.m. Monday night game to open up the season against Detroit. Then, like I said, they have the Thursday night game against the Washington Redskins. Right. And then they play 8:30 p.m. Sunday night game at Philadelphia. So all three of their primetime games at the end of the season, they're all on the road.
Yeah, they're going to lose them all. So, all right, go to the next game.
They go into their bye week, and then they come out of their bye against the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck at
home. Are they at home?
Monday night.
Let's give them a win. Let's give them a win because the Colts are redoing their entire defense.
Okay.
They have to. And they're aging on offense. The only thing they got going for them is Andrew Luck and a decent defensive line. You know what? The Colts are not going to be in the playoffs this year, so I'm going to give them a win there because they're going to have 2 weeks to practice for that game.
Yeah, that's true. So that's another primetime game. That's their fourth primetime in the game of the year. First one at home against the Colts. So, I mean, it's a big game. Then they go on the road to a game that I don't even give them a shot here. They go to Seattle and they take
a loss. That's going to put the mortgage down on that because that's not going to be pretty. That's going to be, I would say the line on that game is going to be 15 to 18.
So now we have them at, let's see, we had them at 1-6, 2-6, 2-7 right now.
Okay, keep going.
In week 9, heading back home across country to take on the San Francisco 49ers, who are also heading across country. That's a 1 p.m. game, but there's an asterisk there that's saying it's subject to change. The last half of their schedule is obviously
they're not going to beat the 49ers.
So 49ers. So now we have them at 2-8.
Yep.
All right. Then they stay at home against the Dallas Cowboys. I'll give them.
They're
going to
win that game.
I'll give them a win there
because that's at the end of November probably.
Then their next couple games, I think they go on a winning streak now.
Good.
So they are at Jacksonville and their new renovated stadium.
They can win that game. They can win that game.
So they're 4-8 right now. And then they go to Tennessee, Nashville, and they take on the Titans.
That's going to be a lot tougher game than everybody thinks. If they lose that game, their season's over.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
But let's say they win that game. Keep going.
I agree. So now they are 5-8.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have then they go back home, take on the Washington Redskins.
I'm going to give them that win too.
6-8.
Yeah, Robert Griffin could be down by then.
Okay. Now then they go to St. Louis, take on the Rams.
They're going to lose that game. For sure.
Okay, so now they are.
The Rams I picked to win the 16, mm-hmm. the 17 Super Bowl.
We did. I mean, I like the Rams.
I do so too this year. I really like them.
So now they're 6-9.
And they're indoors and they play well there.
6-9, finishing up the season at home against the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to say that's going to depend on whether the Eagles need it. And I'm going to say the Eagles do need it just for home field in the NFC. So I'm going to say they lose that. So what is that?
6-10.
Absolutely. I think that's very accurate because if you remember, we gave them 3 wins we weren't sure about.
Mm-hmm.
6-10 is what the New York Giants are going to finish this year. If I had to put my house on it today, that's what I'd do. Okay.
Should we go down the Jets?
And I'm beating on the damn table right now. Matt's being my mother. All right, let's go to the Jets.
Should we go to the Jets?
This is going to be easier.
Go ahead. This might be easier.
Yeah, well, it's going to be easier because at least the Jets, we know who the quarterbacks are. Because if Eli goes out there and he re-injures that foot or he's not ready, they're really going to be in trouble.
All right, so week 1.
All right.
I have them winning this.
Who against who?
They are at home against the Oakland Raiders.
Absolutely. They're 1-0. 1-0. Keep going.
Already starting better than the Giants.
Absolutely.
Week 2, I have a loss. They are at the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they're going to lose that. They're 1-1.
1-1.
Yep.
Then they go back home, take on the Chicago Bears. 1-2 for me.
No, I got them 2-1.
2-1?
Yeah, they're going to beat the Bears.
Okay.
Because you know what I think? I think Cutler is going to get hurt in training camp and not start.
Okay.
Until like the 6th game of the season because he's a big pussy.
Next,
I can say that.
Next they are at home against the Detroit Lions. I am losing that.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
So I have them 1-3. You have them 2-2.
No, I have them 1-3. You have them 2-2.
Yeah, I'm 1-3.
No, because you picked them to win.
I picked them to beat the Raiders. That's it.
Okay, well, I got them 2-2. Keep going.
You have them 2-2. I have them 1-3.
All right, go ahead.
Next, they are at the San Diego Chargers.
Chargers win that for sure.
I have them winning that. So so now we're both.
You need
back
a
on,
drug test already.
So now we're both back on. We're both back on track.
Are you licking somebody's toenails or something?
So we have it back. We're back on track here. We're 2-3. We both have them at 2-3. So now we are at. No, I'm sorry. We are at home.
Okay.
Against the Denver Broncos, and we both have them losing that. I assume.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, so now we're both at 2-4. They are at Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots.
2-5.
2-5. Then they are at home against the Bills. I'll say
3-5. 3-5.
Then they travel to Mr. Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. I say 3-6. I say they lose.
All right, I say 3-6 too, but that could go either way.
Then they are back at home to take on the Steelers before their bye week.
Man, that's going to be tough.
That's a good game.
You know what? Give them the win there.
I give them the win there
all
too.
Right, all right, go ahead.
So we are at 4-6.
Yeah.
They head into a bye, come out of the bye, take on the Buffalo Bills.
At home?
In Buffalo.
I'm going to say they win that game anyway.
I think they do,
because if they don't win that game, they don't make the playoffs.
I do, too. 5-6.
5-6.
Now they are back at home against the Miami Dolphins. I think they win that game.
Yeah, they're going to definitely win that game, because do the Dolphins have any offensive linemen left? Didn't they all, like, make fun of this guy and bully him and stuff? And
yeah, that's true.
Now they have to, like, write on a chalkboard 8 billion times.
So they are now 6-6 in both of our minds. And then they go to Minnesota. And they take on a Vikings team who is completely
depleted.
With
a new coach.
Completely depleted.
I'm going to take Minnesota in that game.
I am going to take the Jets.
All right.
I have 7-6.
All right. I'm going to go with you just because I want to be the – quit hitting my daggone thing. I'm going to go with you because I want to be together, Roy. I want us to be together, man.
The New York
– I want to be together, man.
So then the Jets go to Nashville and take on the Titans.
I'm going to say they lose that because Tennessee is going to be good this year.
Okay. I'll go. I'll ride with you.
7-7.
7-7.
Yeah.
Then they are at home against the New England Patriots.
Boy, that's the game of the year.
That's a huge game.
Is that Christmas? What's the date?
That is December 21st.
How about that? Christmas, and that's going to be the one that determines whether they go to the playoffs or not. I'm going to say they beat them.
Okay.
Let's go there.
I'll ride with you.
You know what?
Somebody's
got to love Rex. He needs some love.
I thought they beat Nashville, so we'll rack it even. So
well,
we're 8-7.
Roy, we got to back the Jets this year because the Giants ain't going to be there.
We're both 8-7.
All right.
Going into the home stretch, they are going to be December 28th. It's going to be snowing in New York, but they're not going to be in New York because they're going to be in Miami playing against the Dolphins.
Oh, God. Let's give them the win.
So now they are, is that 9-7?
Yeah, and they make the playoffs as a wild card. Behind the Patriots, so will probably be 12-4.
So we have the New York Jets going 9-7, making the postseason.
Correct.
As a wild card, and then we have the New York Giants going 6-10 in last place in the division.
And everybody quits or gets fired.
So there it is. There's your dumpster story.
You know what?
For New York football.
I got about 5 more good years of me. I could coach the New York Giants. I just need to hire coaches. I need to be the GM.
So you're saying Rex keeps his job?
Yes, I did. Well, he kept his job last year when everybody thought he was
a contract, right?
Yeah, but he's going to keep his job.
So Geno Smith, is this a coming out party for Geno Smith?
I think they both play a lot. I think Vic.
You think Vic plays too?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. I think Vic is going to come in certain situations, and I'll tell you when. You know, Vic's going to come in probably when, if Geno has a rough time, or if they're like getting to Geno, or they're just confusing Geno. I think Vic comes in and he can add some things to him.
He definitely can add some things.
Well, you know what? If he doesn't get hurt, they're going to be a very good football team. But when you get past Vic as your number two, you're in trouble. I think. I mean, I don't see them being great. I do see their defense being a little bit better this year. I think the Jets have got a very good football team. I just don't think they're ever going to win the division because the cheaters are always going to win the division because they've learned how to cheat and win. And if you think I'm being really tough on New England, read the book.
Yeah,
what's it called?
Spygate, the Untold Story. But a new thing just came out. I believe it was Tom Brady. I was surprised we never talked about this. Tom Brady came out and was bragging at the wedding. I think it was Wes Welker's wedding, bragging about how they had the Jets playbook and they knew everything that was going on. He's bragging about it, and then I believe it was one of the coaches came out. He's a former coach of, I believe, it was a former coach of the Jets, assistant coach. Came out and he said, "Oh well, everybody has that. Everybody has the books. It's just whether or not they can, do anything against it." And then the story kind of got swept under the rug.
I was like, wait a second. Well, now, listen, Belichick Saban. Uh-huh. Evidently, Saban got a playbook and gave it to Belichick. And maybe that was what they were talking about. It must have been the Jets' playbook.
This was – all right, and then Wes Welker came out, I guess, yesterday. Patriots never had the Jets' playbook that I know of.
Oh, the old says that I know of ending
says,
to the sentence.
Says Wes Welker.
That would be a liar. He's a liar!
But it was.
Hey, Matt,
Tom Brady.
He's a liar.
Tom Brady came out at Wes Welker's wedding and said,
"Hey, how do you like my girlfriend? She's rich too."
Yeah, he said he was bragging about how they had the New York Jets playbook and they knew everything was going on. And I guess it was the Browns, one of the he's a Browns coach now, and he was I believe he was a coach with the Jets. It was Petine, yeah.
Yeah, he's the Buffalo Bills head coach.
He's a Browns coach.
Oh, the Browns head coach. My bad.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you, he's a former Jet guy. He was defensive coordinator of the Jets.
Okay.
That's how he got the job.
He's the one who came out and said, the Patriots have our playbook.
Of course they did.
And Tom Brady was bragging about it
at
Wes Welker's wedding.
I don't even like this guy, but I got his book, and it's the best book I've ever read. And I've read it twice just to try to memorize stuff. And I got, Chris Mortensen, that's why he gets all the scoops. Glazer, that's why he gets all the scoops. You know why? Because they hushed up when they found out about how extensive the cheating was. Oh, and they destroyed the tapes, by the way. You know where they destroyed them? Up there. They destroyed them in New England. They didn't even bring them back to the New York office. That's how bad that story would have killed them. You understand? Because if you have a team winning three Super Bowls and they cheated the entire time by, like, for example, having somebody in their ear until the snap of the ball. It's kind of easy. Didn't it always seem like Tom Brady knew where to go with the ball? Gee, I wonder how he knew that. And isn't it kind of weird that Tom Brady is the 13th highest paid quarterback in the league? Why? Because they can get anybody to do it. What was the guy's name that did it that went to Kansas City?
Matt Cassel.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Cassel had the exact same numbers that Brady did the year before and never played a down in college. Hello? Why? Because, he got some information. I mean, let me tell you something. I wasn't there holding a candle when this was happening, but I believe what I read in that book. And it's a great book. What's the name of that book again?
Spy, the Untold Story. Spy,
if you're from New York, you need to get this book. Because it will make you hate the Patriots even more. I'm Bruce Hall, and I already hate the Patriots. I do love his wife, though. We'll be back in a minute with more on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good.
And we're back. We'll be joined shortly.
Call it. Yeah, Tony Major's going to call
us. Tony Major's calling in.
He should have already called.
Tony in right there. So he will be joining us here in this segment. We teased him earlier about the show that he is currently doing.
And here he is, Tony Major.
Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Tony.
We're doing great, man. So you got a new show. Tell us about it.
Yes, please.
It's on... it's called Scene, the website. It's an alternative newspaper in Cleveland.
Spell it.
Stuff. Scene, like a...
S-C-E-N-E?
Yes, S-C-E-N-E. You can find it on clevelandscene.com. Every Wednesday we do a show with Will Burge. He's actually hosting a radio show right now. And he's also a fellow failed sports radio personality in Cleveland. So we figured, why not team up and do some more failed Cleveland sports talk? Personality.
you know what? Nobody does it better than you. And luckily for us, we got plenty of time to talk about what's going on in Cleveland. LeBron James. Everybody wants to know where he's going. Is there a chance he's coming back to Cleveland? I mean, because I've heard two or three stories from a couple of different people that tell me there's a real good chance that's going to happen.
Honestly, I think there is a chance. I think it's a better chance than what I would have thought maybe, 3 months ago. Like, I didn't think that there was a shot. Like, but then of course, who comes to the Browns is Johnny Manziel. Well, Johnny Manziel is represented by LeBron's people.
Yep.
LRMR, his agency, is in downtown Cleveland, and AEG is in downtown Cleveland. So all the high profile athletes. And then I guess he took a picture on Instagram the other day.
No, nobody does that.
It was his wife. But yes,
right. No. This was another one. This was where he, I guess, a couple of guys picked up Johnny Manziel.
Ah, I didn't hear about this.
Took the picture. It was at the AEG offices right in downtown Cleveland. So LeBron's been here more than people think.
Tony, so what you're saying is Roy and I should invest in a condo in downtown Cleveland just to come party?
Yeah, why not? absolutely. You can hang out with Josh Gordon.
It's pretty cheap too, isn't it? I mean, can I get a good deal on some real estate in downtown?
Can you hook it up with the Lion Kugel and the Miller Lite? That's the real question.
Oh, no, I could do that, definitely. I know Bruce is interested in that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Tony, I'm driving, man. I always drive, and I don't even like drivers to drive because they drive me crazy. We're talking to Tony Mazur in Cleveland. One of our best guys.
Staying in the NBA.
Yeah. And for just a brief second.
So LeBron James opts out. Chris Bosh opts out. D-Wade opts out. All of them opt out, which we all saw coming. But now we get all these reports that LeBron might go back to Cleveland. He might go to the Clippers. Bosh might go. He's seeking a max deal. So he's kind of the wild card in this case. All the while, Cleveland had a first-round draft pick, and they take my boy Andrew Wiggins from Kansas. And they pass on a guy, Joel Embiid, because of a back injury. And then you hear this stuff about Jabari Parker, flopping during the Cleveland workout because he didn't want to become a Cavalier. So what is going on with this first overall pick? And are you sold on the Andrew Wiggins decision?
I actually am. He's definitely raw. Andrew Wiggins is a guy that has a ton of upside, an extremely high ceiling, but he made a lot of mistakes last year.
Yeah.
Was there a consensus number one this year? Jabari Parker showed flashes. Joel Embiid showed flashes. Hell, Dante Exum showed flashes. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that there was that number one pick again this past year. But Wiggins probably was the, if you're going to choose one, that was the guy. Now, the problem is, a lot of people are wondering what's going to happen to Kevin Love.
Yeah, right.
And they said that you're going to have to, and there are rumors that if Cleveland wants Kevin Love, and I think it was Chris Broussard the other day said that if Kevin Love were to come to the Cavs with LeBron, then he'd definitely re-sign instead of just going there the 1 year and then opting into free agency and going elsewhere. And you wouldn't want to gamble your future for a Kevin Love who's shooting outside shots and only going to be here for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So just so many. I mean, we have a couple more days till July 1st in free agency.
But right.
It's just right now in Cleveland, it's like I haven't seen this town so stinking positive before. And I got to admit, even the positivity is starting to creep into my own life now. I'm looking, going, yeah, they got Johnny Football. LeBron, he's from Akron. It's 45 minutes south of us. And, wow, some stuff going on, except for the Indians, even though they had a one-hitter last night. But, the Indians are mediocre.
So what I was leaning at towards, and I thought you were getting at with that Instagram pic, was the his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She sends out a pic saying, what is it saying? We're going home, 303, I guess that's the area code. Or is it 330? Whatever the area code in Cleveland is. I've never been there. But she 330. So she sends out an Instagram picture of Cleveland talking about Akron, about how she's going back home. And then you're talking about Kevin Love now, which I haven't heard Kevin Love to Cleveland. I've heard Kevin Love to Golden State, but I haven't heard to Cleveland. So give me a percentage of what's more likely. Is it Kevin Love to Cleveland, or is it Mr. LeBron James heading back to Cleveland? What do you think is more likely to happen?
If LeBron's coming, I would not. If LeBron comes back to Cleveland, then there's no doubt in my mind that Kevin Love is going to be extremely interested in wanting to come here. So it's almost like a package deal.
Oh, okay.
You get LeBron, you get Kevin Love. If you don't get LeBron, you're not going to get Kevin Love. Best they can do is probably after that. Because this is what the Cavs burned themselves the last time, is they put all their eggs in one basket and said that LeBron's going to take us to the next level. Well, they went to the finals in 2007 with the worst NBA Finals team on the planet. Eric Snow was on the team, starting for much of the season. It really was bad. So when LeBron left, they had nobody. So in my advice to the Cavs brass out there and Dan Gilbert and everybody is to plan like LeBron's not coming here. And if he does, okay, that sounds great. It's like having a dinner reservation.
Sure.
And it's like, I'm just going to let you know, you're at a wedding. I have the placard on the table. It has your name on it. There's a seat for you. If you decide to come to the wedding, then that's fine. If not, then we'll replace it, and that's one less mouth to feed. So that's kind of how I see it. Any way where you cannot be, you should not be disappointed. And let's face it, in Cleveland, we've had our share of disappointment in this town.
Yeah, we're talking to Tony Mazur, our Cleveland guy. Tony, let me ask you another question. Personally, I see the problem with the Clippers, with the owner and the sale and his wife and the NBA offices. I see that being a problem in anybody going there anytime soon. What do you think the timeline is on when we find out where he goes? When do you think the latest will be about him leaving? Because obviously he opted out of his deal, so he's got to figure out where he's going, right?
Yeah, the latest is probably, I think it's early September, that when they're starting to look at training camp and getting the rosters together. That's the latest, so in between there. Now, of course, we all know that LeBron actually, you know, he opted out on his deal. He's trying to make more money, and this is an interesting stat that I saw. LeBron has never been the highest-paid player in the game.
Right.
I mean, there's probably been Gilbert Arenas. There's been some just awful contracts that have been given out. And LeBron James, arguably the best basketball player on the planet right now, just hasn't been the highest-paid player. And the thing is, he, of course, went to Miami with Bosh and Wade and took less money to win championships. So, I mean, you know, did he play with his buddies? Sure, but he has two rings. I mean, he's 2-for-5 in the finals, but he's been there. So he's gonna. I think at this point, LeBron's gonna try and look for more money. And percentage he stays at the Heat probably still greater than it is with the Cavs, because Pat Riley is just, I mean, he's a wheeler and dealer. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I gotta say this: I am very surprised Pat Riley didn't allow his ego to step in when the Heat were struggling. Like, because they've kind of gone out of the blocks, so kind of slow a little bit. And I was surprised that Pat Riley didn't say, "All right, screw you, Eric Spoelstra, I'm coaching this team now." And he didn't do it. So I was kind of shocked by
that.
Well,
Pat's 70 years old. I mean, you know, that takes a lot out of you being on the sidelines. It takes a lot out of you being in the general manager's office, too. Hey, you know what? We got 3 minutes, Tony, before the break, and we're going to keep you on for the last segment, because you're going to help us pick baseball scores. But we're going to, right now, real quickly, we're going to go through the...
Well, hold on. I want to switch gears real quick.
Well, I wanted to talk about Cleveland Browns football.
That's what I wanted to
do.
Well,
I got their schedule right here. Here we go, Tony. We're going to figure out what the Browns schedule is. They open up at the Steelers. They're 0-1. Would you concur?
I would say yes, but I still have this vision of Johnny Manziel and the Browns are down by 2 touchdowns, and he ends up running for 2 touchdowns in enemy territory.
Yeah, keep that.
I mean, that's just my Cleveland homerism.
Yeah, keep that vision, but keep your wallet out of it. Except they're home against the Saints and Drew Brees. I'm going to give them a win here. I'm going to say they're 1-1.
0-2.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with you. That's why I got you on. September at home against the Ravens. Is that 0-3?
I think they beat the Ravens.
At home against the Ravens? Yeah. No, I say that's the first win.
Me too.
All right, 1-2. Now they got a bye week, and they're at the Titans. Now the Titans are going to be greatly improved, and Tennessee's not the easiest place to play. I say that's a loss.
That's a loss too, yeah.
We're at 1-4. Yeah, now they got the Steelers at home. You want to give them a win there?
Steelers at home, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Let's do it. All right. Let's go
2-3. 2-3. Now they're at the Jaguars. Are they going to get a win down there, or is that going to be one the Jaguars can win?
That's 3-3, man.
They never win in Jacksonville.
All right, 2-4. See, that's why we got you on. They're 2-4. Now they got the Raiders at home. That's a win. 3-4, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then now they got the Buccaneers at home. Now, this is not a bad Buccaneer team, but since they're at home, I'm going to say they win. They're 4-4.
I agree with that, because but I'm just still skeptical on Tampa's quarterback situation.
No, I hear you. All right, now they go to the Bengals. They're going to lose that. They're going to be 4-5, right?
Yeah, yep.
All right, now they got the Texans at home, rebuilding, trying to put something together. Now they're 5-5, correct?
No.
Oh, they're going to be 4-6 and lose to the Texans?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to stay with you. At the Falcons, I'm going to say that's 4-7, no matter how bad.
That's a loss.
At the Bills, a revamped Bills team, second year with a new head coach. They lose?
At Buffalo? No, that's a win.
All right, so that's 5-7. Now they got the Colts at home.
Loss.
5-8. Now they got the Bengals at home.
5-9.
Now they go to Carolina late in the year. They're going to lose that too. That's 5-10.
5-10.
And now they go to the Ravens when the Ravens will need it. That's 5-11. So once again, the Cleveland Browns are going to be 5-11. Is that correct?
That's what it sounds like.
To make you feel better, Tony, I have them at 6-10.
Hey, listen, I got to do a quick quick break and an ad here. Tony, hold on. We'll do the last segment with baseball with you, okay? All right, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
All right, before we hop into this MLB stuff, I wanted to grab something real quick.
All right, real quick.
Johnny Manziel has created a circus there in Cleveland. He has done pretty much everything but show up late for a
meeting,
a workout or meeting.
Yeah, okay.
So he has talked through. He can't hear you because he has too much money. He has taken pictures of himself on inflatable dolls in pools. He's gone down to Vegas. He's done everything.
What's your point?
But show up late in Cleveland for a workout. So as long as everything else is okay in the Browns organization, do you have a problem with your quarterback going out and living life?
I don't. I mean, that's why you drafted him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You picked him up, and if he's a guy that, yeah, he's in the spotlight, and of course, well, it's not a good look for the team. That's like, well, what is a good look for the team? Losing 12 games a year?
That's a great look.
It's about time you had a guy. We had a player in Cleveland. Granted, it was for baseball. His name was Albert Bell. He was he's a recovering alcoholic and always on edge. His former name was Joey. Someone yelled Joey at him at a game, threw a baseball right in his chest. This guy would chase kids through a graveyard because he was they egged his house, and there were so many other things. But he finally actually had a player who had talent and also little bit of an attitude, a little bit. And Cleveland doesn't have that. They've always gotten choir boys, and they wonder why they haven't seen anything in this town. It's been one constant after. Well, he's a great guy in the clubhouse. Oh yeah, that's great because that wins championships. So, but you know what? I applaud Johnny Manziel for doing that, and if it gets all the old fuddy duddies,
yeah,
panties in a bunch, then you know I love it even more.
Let me tell you something. If he stays healthy and he starts, he's going to be a very exciting guy to watch. There's no question about that because all of the athletic things he does. You can see how athletic he is on TV. I mean, and to be honest with you, yeah, in the pros, the defensive linemen are a little bit faster and a little bit bigger, and the linebackers, you know, don't give you a break when they tackle you, and you don't make a miss that often. If Manziel runs out of bounds a lot, and is smart about, you know, just taking the amount of yardage he can get, I think those Cleveland people are going to love him. I remember Bernie Kosar, you know, leading Cleveland to a lot of wins. But, you know, besides Bernie Kosar, I got to go all the way back to Dr. Frank Ryan, right, in the 60s and 70s before I can find a quarterback from Cleveland I actually remember. I know there was another one after Bernie.
Well, that's Brian Sipe.
Yeah, Brian Sipe was number 17, and he was decent. He was good, but he wasn't great. He was like from San Diego State, right?
Yeah, he was a bad boy, like it was like a Kurt Warner thing, and he became NFL MVP in 1980. Remember the Cardiac Kids, Bruce?
That's right. Well, that was Ernest Biner and all those guys, right?
Well, it was a little before Ernest. It was you had Ozzie Newsome, and you know before you know Ozzie's winning championships with the rival team.
Who were your running backs back then? And then I'll be able to know. Do you remember your team? You weren't even born then, were you?
No, but I believe it was the you had Greg Pruitt, you had Mike Pruitt.
Oh, the kid from Oklahoma that ran the wishbone.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Yeah, I remember that. I remember Brian Sipe because Brian Sipe could throw the ball, and it, you know he couldn't run, but he could throw. He was good. All right, we're gonna go over the standings real quick. Atlanta is tied with the Washington Nationals in the National League East. Miami is 4 games back at 39-32. The Mets, well, we've already talked about the Mets. Sorry about that. David Wright's out for probably at least 3 or 4 days. Philadelphia is exactly where we thought they'd be, Roy. They suck. They got old guys, are paying them too much money, and why would anybody want to go see them play? Milwaukee is the talk of the league. They're 51-32, the best record. My buddy John Nairn, the hitting coach, told me that if they got the pitching, they would win it this year. He's looking like a soothsayer. St. Louis, 44-38. They have more wins than they had last time we talked about them. Cincinnati has turned it around. There, Joey Votto's been back for a while. They're 7.5 games back in Milwaukee, though, at 42-48. Pittsburgh is starting to play better. They have the best division in the National League by far, if you look at the total division, because they're like plus 19. Everybody else is minus if you add up their wins and losses. San Francisco, they were 9.5 games out, looked like the team to beat. They've run into some problems.
A bit of a wall.
Yeah, the big wall, and that wall relates to Angel Pagan being out. When Angel Pagan isn't on that team, they lose. When he is healthy, they win. Los Angeles Dodgers have the chemistry problems of like a first-year teacher in a high school. They suck, but they're 9 games over 500 all of a sudden, and they got Kershaw back, a healthy Kershaw. Colorado, Arizona, and San Diego might as well just pack it up and fire everybody, in my opinion. And now let's go to, if we can, let's go to the American League. I'd love to. I can't. My computer is.
You want me to run this
dying.
Now?
Yeah, you do it.
Sure, we have the LA East. Yeah, you do it. Toronto's on top there, about 1.5 over Baltimore Orioles, and
they're still doing it.
They have 42-38.
Yep,
slightly behind them, 1/2 game back from the O's.
Right,
would be the New York Yankees. They are 41-38. A couple games down, about 5 to be exact.
Tanaka's lost 2 games in a row, too, by the way.
The Boston Red Sox, 7 games out of the top spot. And then we have the lowly Rays. We might as well just call them the Devil Rays at this point. 11 games in.
Yeah, build a baseball stadium, you morons.
The Central Division, Detroit is heading that thing up with a comfy 4.5-game lead.
They're going to win it.
Over the Royals.
Yep.
The Royals are on their about 42nd hitting coach of this season. So
No. It's the same one. They've only had him a month. He's good.
Well, that's
Dale
good.
Dale Swain.
Oh, well, good
Milwaukee
for him.
Brewer guy.
Still has his job. Great. Great. That's great news there in Kansas City. then that goes to the Cleveland Indians.
Tony, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with the Indians?
39-41.
What's wrong with the Indians?
Yeah, tell us. I mean, you know, why aren't they like 5 games over 500?
They make too many. They're best players on the team are underperforming.
Okay.
I mean, your highest paid players, you have Nick Swisher is just, I mean, he's just god awful.
Yeah.
Carlos Santana is starting to turn it around, but he's a good hitter.
It's right.
Just, he started the season for the first 2 months, he's batting 160. And,
right.
So their best players on the team, are right now are Michael Brantley and Corey Kluber. So if you're going to pick up anybody, Michael Brantley is definitely a fantasy stat stuffer.
So yeah, let me ask you this, Tony: do you think they're sellers before the deadline? You don't think they're going to try to win it, or do you just think that they figure there's no way they catch Detroit?
They might do both. They might have to sell off a couple of pieces, key pieces to their team. Justin Masterson is a guy who's looming on free agency. Wouldn't be surprised if they float him out there. Asdrubal Cabrera, who has motivation problems and stuff, it's just not working anymore. They might throw him out there to try and get a pitcher down the stretch, and as they should. So I think they're going to have to sell off some pieces.
Why would they get rid of Masters? Tony, why would they get rid of Masterson if they're trying to win? I mean, they need him in their starting rotation, don't they?
They need him, but he's not performing.
So you just think getting rid of him and his salary would be the thing they might want to do. Now, look, the Mets have 2 or 3 guys that are going to be 2 or 3 good pitchers. Jonathan Nease is a good pitcher. I mean, they've got 3 guys they could get rid of that would help Cleveland. Detroit, go ahead.
I was going to say at the beginning of the season, Masterson was coming up on, you know, was coming up on free agency, and they're like, "Is he worth big money?" I mean, you saw these guys getting like just massive contracts for like, are they even aces? Like, what's his name? Is it Homer Bailey got the
or got the big deal in the offseason.
Yeah, Cincinnati,
like,
right.
$20 million.
He got a lot.
Is Masterson worth it? And especially in a market like Cleveland. And no, he's not.
Yeah,
he doesn't perform to the best of his ability.
All right. So at least I know how you feel about Cleveland and why. I don't think Cleveland, Chicago, and Minnesota have a shot. None of them. Oakland is definitely going to win the American League pennant, in my opinion. I think they have the best team. They have the best team now. They're going to have the best team in September and October. The Angels have played better, and they're 11 games over 500, which is exactly where the San Francisco Giants are now. Seattle, 6 games over 500. Texas sucks. Houston's getting better. Let's break down the games today, Tony. You ready? Because we got 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left before we got to say goodbye to everybody. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Chicago White Sox. Quintana, lefty, going against Mark Burley, who's been trying to win his 11th game for a month now, but his ERA is only 2.52. I'm taking Toronto at home today. What do you guys say?
I got to go Burley. I'm going, mm-hmm. I think he does get win number 11 today, and he's facing his old club, and if you know, even though everybody's gone from that team, I think Toronto's got to start to turn around, and I think today might be the day.
I'm riding with Tony.
I think you're right. Cobb is at Gonzalez in Baltimore. I'm passing on that game. It's too tight to call. Baltimore's having some problems right now scoring runs. They're getting some decent pitching, but I'm going to pass on that game.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Cobb's has just been having a down season. I'm going the opposite way.
Yeah, he has a great record against Baltimore. He's 2-0 with a 1.26 ERA lifetime, but I'm going to leave it alone. Detroit is at Houston. Roy, you agreed, right?
Yeah, I'm going to pull that.
Detroit is at Houston. Smiley, the lefty against Feldman, who used to be an Oriole and pitched very well. I'm passing on the game. Houston's tough at home, and, you know, Detroit's winning a lot of games, but I'm not a big Smiley fan. I'm going to pass.
You don't like the smile?
I'm not a smiley fan.
I'm a smiler.
I don't like him. Don't like Smiler.
I'm a big frown fan. I don't know. But he's not pitching today, I guess.
I hear you. The Angels, you got Wilson, who's been back now for 3 weeks against Guthrie. Great matchup here. It could go either way. I'm passing on the games, too. It's actually -105, which is a pick. I'm passing.
I'm taking CJ because I hate Jeremy Guthrie.
Well, there you go. If you hate Jeremy Guthrie, that's it. You know.
Ugh. I don't know. I think I'm going Guthrie today.
Well, there you go. I don't blame you.
Guthrie,
I mean,
over the Angels.
They are at home, and they have to win. Minnesota, Gibson at Lewis. You know, Minnesota's not real good. Texas is the worst team in the league right now. I'm passing on this game.
I'll go Minnesota today. Why
well, I'm going to go Texas because you chose Guthrie over me.
Well, one of you wins, and I win just by sitting out. Cleveland is at Seattle. You got Fernandez. 11-6, 2.24 ERA. This year he's 9-2. I'm taking King Felix. They are going to win today. And even if you got to give up 2-1, take it.
Who's on the mound for the Indians?
House.
Yeah.
I believe he's a doctor.
He's probably related to Tom House, so that makes him a loser already.
He's that doctor guy. Pretty sure he's a doctor.
Yeah. I'm going to Seattle today, too.
All right, good. I got Lackey at Whitley. I'm passing on the game. I don't like either of those pitchers at all. We got 1 minute left. We're getting there. I pass.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
All right. You got Atlanta Harangue at Buchanan. I wouldn't play this game with your money. Tony, I'm passing on this Harangue at Buchanan. Two. Harangue's okay, but he's starting to look like Aaron Harangue again.
Yeah, Harangue's tiring out. He's not the same player as he was 2 months ago.
All right, I'm getting to the game that I'm playing just to make sure I get it in. You got De La Rosa, who's looked like crap the last three games because I have him on my scorebook team, at Gallardo, who's looked great, and they're at home, and it's Milwaukee. Take Milwaukee minus the 180 for the house. What do you think?
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm taking it too. I'm not playing Homer Bailey and Tim Hudson. One Hall of Famer, maybe not two in that game. I'm passing on that game. What do you think? We got to go, Tony. I love you, Tony. We'll see you next week.
See you Wednesday, Tony.
Roy, drive safe, buddy. See you, Matt. Bye-bye. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion.